A conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court justice says he will recuse himself from the case challenging the collective bargaining law known as Act 10. It's Friday, January 31st. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Mallory Chang. Coming up, UW-Madison is putting a hiring freeze on positions paid with federal funds. And another year with below-average snowfall is affecting winter sports up north. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn says he will step aside as the Wisconsin Supreme Court considers a lawsuit challenging the collective bargaining law known as Act 10. As Rich Kramer reports, Hagedorn says he did so because he helped draft the law.
In an order issued Thursday afternoon, Hagedorn said after reviewing legal filings in the case and the court's ethics rules, he determined recusal was required. Hagedorn served as former Republican Governor Scott Walker's top lawyer when Act 10 was drafted. He says he gave legal advice then and later when defending the law in court. His recusal leaves liberals with a 4-2 majority on the court as it decides whether to hear a lawsuit alleging Act 10 is unconstitutional. Republican leaders in the Wisconsin legislature have also asked for liberal Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself from the case. That's because she protested against the law in 2011. Protasiewicz didn't participate in a scheduling order issued by the court Thursday afternoon, but did not give a reason. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The University of Wisconsin-Madison put a hiring freeze on positions paid by existing federal funds. Leadership also told staff to limit purchases and travel using these funds for the time being. The move comes after the Trump administration's recent calls to review federal research grants and make sure they comply with his executive orders. In 2023, UW-Madison ranked 6th in the nation with about $1.7 billion in research expenditures. About half of that money came from the federal government. Attorney Mark Ehrman helps universities spin off their research into companies. He says government funds are important for developing new technologies and therapies.
I would be worried that that would slow down or stop if you didn't have that government support.
UW-Madison says it will continue to update its staff as, quote, formally predictable federal programs will be experiencing new degrees of uncertainty and change. This week, President Trump moved to end gender transition care for children and teens. Hope Kerwin talked with one Wisconsin parent about that decision.
Carrie is a parent in the Fox Valley region whose son came out as transgender at age 15. She asked WPR not to use her last name out of concern for her family's safety. Carrie says hormone replacement therapy helped her son overcome severe depression as a teen. He's now a young adult, but she worries about the families who have teens going through the same transition and who may lose access to care because of the president's executive order.
As a parent, it is really difficult to understand that your child may be all of a sudden thrown into this state of turmoil again.
Trump said in the order that treatments left children with costly medical bills and regret as they aged. Children's Wisconsin did not respond to a request for comment on the order. A spokesperson for UW Health said in a statement that they're working to evaluate potential impacts to care. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The Wisconsin LGBTQ Plus Caucus has 7 new members, the group announced this week. That brings the caucus of openly LGBTQ Plus lawmakers to 12 members total. One of them is Democrat Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, who is starting his first term representing an assembly district in Green Bay. One of his priorities is removing the clause in Wisconsin's constitution that defines marriage as being between a man and a woman.
Our constitution still has the language that could someday, in some extreme measure, which unfortunately extremism is rising, could potentially be reinvoked.
That clause was passed by referendum in 2006. It was overturned by the 2015 U.S. Supreme Court case that made state-level bans on gay marriage unconstitutional. An effort to repeal the clause failed last legislative session. Organizers of North America's largest cross-country ski race are crafting contingency plans for another year with below-normal snowfall. As Daniel Kading reports, the race is set to be held in late February.
Organizers are gearing up for nearly 12,000 skiers who have registered for events, including the 51st annual American Birkebeiner Ski Race. The course typically runs from Cable to Hayward. Ben Pop with the American Birkebeiner Ski Foundation says it would be ideal for skiers to finish in downtown Hayward, but he says the southern half of the trail is pretty bare.
We would love for Mother Nature to come through and drop us a foot of snow, and we'll see.
The National Weather Service office in Duluth says snowfall is anywhere from 5 to 15 inches below normal for the entire state. Last year, Wisconsin saw its warmest winter on record, and the Berkey celebrated its 50th anniversary with a shorter course on artificial snow. Organizers say they will make a final decision about the course by the end of next week. Daniel Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear from WPR Capital reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk about the role federal grant money plays in Wisconsin. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
You know, hitman's living in the shadows, and you have to be anonymous, and you have to be kind of emotionally closed off.
And provocative.
My father used to say that he would punch you so hard that you would go back up to God.
And always playful.
Gangbusters?
Gangbusters, yeah. That's it.
Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
If you ever wanted to know what federal dollars do in Wisconsin every day, just look at responses this week to the Trump administration's memo calling for a pause in federal payments to grant, loan, and assistance programs. The state relies on a lot of federal money for different purposes. WPR's Anya Van Wagtendonk has been looking into just how much money and where it all goes. She joined All Things Considered host Brady Carlson to discuss.
Anya, when we talk about federal funding for Wisconsin, how broad is that?
Yeah, it's really significant. The state passes its budget every 2 years, and our current budget is about $100 billion, and $28 billion of that comes from the federal government. So, you know, you can do that math. It's like a quarter of what Wisconsin uses to just pay for stuff every 2 years. But that figure doesn't account for federal grants and loans that go directly to organizations and also local communities, local governments. That's also billions of dollars with a B, and that goes to everything you can imagine. It goes to Head Start programs for young kids and Meals on Wheels for the elderly. Those are some of the highest profile organizations that people are talking about this week. But federal funds go to housing assistance, heating assistance, they repair railroads, they will send fire trucks to your community, cancer research, park repairs, mental health services, education for farmers, tribal health care. I went through a laundry list of about 15,000 grants just for the year 2024. It is a huge, huge list.
And you've spoken with some of the groups that are on that list that receive this money. What are they saying now?
Yeah, there is just across the board so much uncertainty. Nearly every group I spoke with said they're not receiving any kind of direct communication, and so they are depending on news reports and the White House press briefings and just trying to figure out what is going on. And there's a real, you know, ripple effect to that kind of uncertainty. So, for example, I spoke with somebody who runs a Meals on Wheels program for seniors up north, and they contract with food vendors. So it's not just a question of uncertainty for their staff about whether operations are continue or for the people that they serve, whether they'll, you know, receive those meals. It's also a question of will the food vendors get paid? And so there really are these kind of ripple effects throughout communities.
And these organizations plan out their budgets and their strategy a year or sometimes more in advance.
Yeah, exactly. They really kind of count on this money and understand it to be coming through. Some of these organizations are so small and kind of shoestring. I spoke with a woman who runs a childcare business, and she serves families who receive federal assistance to send their kids to daycare. And those families, you know, typically get that assistance on the first of every month. And so she's literally waiting till the first of the month to find out whether their assistance comes through. And depending on whether those families get their checks, she will then decide whether or not she can keep her business open next week or whether she needs to go find a different job.
So is this big, murky, gray area getting any less gray?
You know, if anything, I think it's getting less clear because there are so many factors at play. Earlier this week, a federal judge in D.C. blocked the original memo that announced the pause. And so then the White House rescinded that memo. That block is still in effect in the courts, but we're waiting to figure out what happens when that lifts. It's also sort of unclear what it means that the memo was retracted, even though the executive orders about what the federal government will and won't fund going forward do stand. So a lot of the groups that I spoke with, you know, understand this to mean like business can continue as usual because that memo was rescinded. And so that confusion itself is actually something that's now being debated in the courts. There's a judge that's considering whether that confusion itself is harmful. Because, right, when you have organizations that are closing their doors because they just don't know how to comply with a federal order, that is a serious effect, right?
And so what do they do in this situation?
So I think we're all just kind of waiting to see what happens next. We're waiting to see what happens when that original court order lifts, and then just generally what's going on in the courts, whether there will be additional lawsuits. There's this question of whether it is even legal for a president, for an executive office, to make this funding decision without Congress. Congress is supposed to control the nation's purse strings. And then we're waiting to see whether the Trump administration kind of responds to some of those arguments, maybe by putting forward a different proposal that's more designed to evade some of these legal questions. And so it really is just a lot of questions with no real answers. And I think in the meantime, a lot of these organizations that depend on that money are just scrambling to try to understand.
That was WPR Capital reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk with All Things Considered host Brady Carlson. Finally, a quick check-in weather before we let you go to start your day. There's a dense fog advisory in effect until 9 a.m. for far southern Wisconsin, anywhere from Grant County eastward to Milwaukee County. And there's also some light rain this morning from around Beloit all the way eastward to Kenosha. But the rest of the states will be partly sunny and mild. High temps today will be in the low 30s in the north to around the low 40s in the southern parts of the state. And that's today's podcast. Thank you for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Mallory Chang, in for Alex Crow. Our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. We'll be back in your podcast feeds on Monday. Until then, take care. Have a great weekend.